This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Nahl which is the 16th Surah verse 44 By the way, I always say have a pen and paper ready and have your Quran next to you. Maybe you can. And of course, your phone where you can look up the hadith, which I quote. And I'll give all the references that I quote from. In Surah Al-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 44, Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ ذِكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And we have sent down to you the message so that you may explain clearly to the people what is sent for them and so that they may give thought, so that they may think, apply their minds to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. I am going to divide my talk this morning, or this afternoon rather, into two parts. One is going to speak about the importance of prophethood. And then, inshallah, we're going to speak a bit about the celebration of Eid, particularly the incident around Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. We read in a hadith in Musnad Ahmad where the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from Adam to me, starting with Adam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ending with me, Allah sent 124,000 prophets, of whom 315 were rusul, were messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, of the 24,000 prophets, anbiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to mankind, only 315 came with a book. Now, that's a very few compared to 124,000. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave a book to 315 of them and not to the other 120 odd thousand that he sent to the world? If we reflect upon this, then we can come to grips with the actual institution of prophethood. There is the book and there is the prophet. The prophet represents prophethood. He has been inaugurated into the bevy of prophets from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spokespersons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawheed. The very fact that we have, there are many misguided people, of course, in every age, you will say that, yeah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, well, he was just a conduit, you know. The book came through him and that was it. He was the human being that Allah chose to whom the revelation was going to be sent, and he was going to pass on that revelation to mankind. That's his role. But is that really so? Was that the only role that the prophets played? We need to establish firmly that the need for prophethood in itself, as a source of guidance, is established upon the person. That we need to have a physical human guide to not only to explain to us in words what the revelation means, but also to show us in action what the revelation means. So Allah SWT didn't just use the prophets to send via them a book. No, they came with a book. The book was the manual and the prophet was the explanator or the exemplifier of that manual. So we couldn't have a book without a prophet. And prophet pray essential. Allah talks about the prophet in the Quran. What does Allah say about him? That he was a good listener, that he was a good memorizer of my prophecy that I sent to them? No. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You will find in the messenger of Allah the best of examples. His walk was an example. His talk was an example. His marriages were all examples. What he ate was an example. His character, his smile. The beauty of his tawheed. The firmness that he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His valor on the battlefield, subhanAllah, as a commander. So this point is the point of messengers were not just conduits for books or channels for books to come to humanity. No. The Quran establishes in the opening verse, opening surah of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Fatiha. Short surah consisting of 7 verses. In it, there is a prayer for guidance. In it, there is a prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. To guide us on the straight path. Now, what does Allah say after that? Does Allah say, O Muslimin, as-sirat al-mustaqim huwa al-Qur'an, or hiya al-Qur'an, is the sirat, is the straight path the Quran? No, Allah didn't say that. Or is a straight path the ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, Allah didn't say that. What does Allah say? Allah says, "Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim." Allah describes the people of that path, not the manifesto of that path, not the written word of that path. No, Allah describes the people that will represent the path. Who are those people? The path of those on whom you have bestowed your grace and your favor. So Allah describes the people you must follow. Those are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed his grace and his favor. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what is the path of those that you should not follow? That is not the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not the path of those who earn your wrath, nor of those who go astray. Allah says, so we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put us on the path of those people who gone astray. And those are the Jewish community, Jewish people, Bani Israel. Neither those who go astray, the Mufassirun says, that refers to the Christians. So we should not follow their path. What should we follow? The path of grace and favor. So here's an excellent example of the importance of example. That's why the old people always say, be a good example in your behavior, in your character. It's very, very important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse I quoted, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah says, and we have sent down to you the remembrance, that which will remind you, the dhikr, so that you may explain it, both in your words and in your character and in your behavior. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So perhaps those who look at you, they will apply their mind and they will accept what you say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, verse 80, Allah says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever is obedient to the messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. He has certainly been obedient to Allah. Allah doesn't say, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ, or Allah doesn't say, وَمَنْ يُطِعُ اللَّهُ وَيُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ. Allah doesn't say, those who are obedient to Allah and his Rasul. No, Allah says, those who are obedient to the Rasul and obedient to Allah. Obedience connected to the Rasul and obedience connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ in Surah Taghabun, the 64th Surah, verse 12, Allah says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Be obedient, follow Allah, and follow his messenger. So both here firmly establishes the absolute necessity for the physical presence of the Anbiya and the Rusul. Allah could have put the book on top of the Kaaba and said, and instructed people to send an angel to whoever, whatever, there's a message, there's a book, then no. The book and the prophet go together. I want to now discuss a little bit of Eid in Islam. With that background of the Prophet ﷺ and the fact that he, in his behavior, teaches us, is very important. Rawan Nasa'i, Imam Nasa'i, as you may gather from his name, is one of the seven persons who wrote the most authentic books of hadith on the life of the Nabi ﷺ. He says, as Hafiz ibn Hajar, who is the commentator on Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة ولهم يومان يلعبون فيهما فقال لقد أبدلكم الله تعالى بهما خيرا منهما يوم الفطر والأضحى. He says that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, he said that when the Nabi came to Medina, the people of Medina had 2 days of celebration, in which they celebrated in their way. فقال, then the Nabi ﷺ said to the Sahaba, وَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِمَا خَيْرًا. He said, Allah has given you 2 better days. خَيْرًا مِنَا. Better than those 2 days. يَوْمُ الْفِطْرِ وَيَوْمُ الْأَضْحَى. The day of Eid al-Fitr and the day of Eid al-Adha. And as a matter of interest, these are the only 2 celebrations, official celebrations in Islam. Why? Because it comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to have more celebrations, He would have said so. He would have mentioned it. Why would He leave it out? You mentioned Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, you could have mentioned any other day or any other person. But in Islam, celebrations do not revolve around incidents or persons. No. Celebrations revolve around ta'zeemullah, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why both these celebrations have in it takbir, Allahu Akbar, to make Allah great. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, repetitive Allahu Akbar, so that we may know that these celebrations are in honor and elevation of the self-elevated Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then is the centerpiece of our celebrations. Rawal al-Bukhari. So we have 2, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Confirmed in the Quran and confirmed by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rawal al-Bukhari, bisanadi an Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Asadi, an Urwata an Aishata radiallahu ta'ala anha, qalat. This hadith is found in Bukhari. This hadith in book 56, chapter 81, Hadith number 2906. What is the report on the hadith? Aisha says. Aisha reports. Dakhala alayya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa 'indi jariyatani tughanniyani bi ghina'i bu'ath. This is a hadith where Aisha says it was the day of Eid. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered the house, the place where they stayed, which was put next to the masjid. There's one room. وَعِنْدِ جَارِيَتَانْ تُغَنِّيَانِ بِغِنَى بُعَثْ. And Aisha says, with me there were 2 girls, small girls. They were singing a song of the songs of Bu'ath. And I'll explain later what Bu'ath is. فَاتَّجَعَ عَلَى الْفِرَاشِ. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to go and lie down on his blanket or his spread or whatever it may have been on the ground. وَحَوَّلَ وَجْهَهُ. And he turned his face away. He didn't say, stop singing. No, continue singing. And what is Bu'ath? Bu'ath was a gift to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and a gift to the Muslimin from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Bu'ad was the name of a battle that took place between the Aus and the Khazraj, two tribes of the Ansar of Medina, not the Jews, not the Christians. These were two tribes of the Ansar. This was, of course, before the coming of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They fought for nearly 300 years, these two tribes, Aus and the Khazraj, both Arab tribes. For 300 years they fought. They would get up every morning to go to battle against each other. Until this battle took place. And in this battle, many of the leaders, if not all of the leaders on both sides, were killed. So they were leaderless. Ansar were leaderless. And they eventually decided we have to come to terms. So they chose Abdullah ibn Ubay As-Salul to be their leader. You know who Abdullah ibn Ubay was? He was the chief of the Munafiqun of Medina in the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before they could put this new presentation together of joining forces and having Abdullah ibn Ubay as their leader, the Prophet arrived. This is about 3 to 5 years after this battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina. And the Ansar decided against that initial proposal, and they all decided, they voted in fact, to make the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the leader of the Ansar of Medina. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the battle led to the death of leadership. In came the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were looking for a leader just at that point in time, and they voted. Wasn't imposed, they voted. At that time, the Muslimin of Medina were very few. So obviously, if they had voted for anybody else, they would have lost. So all of the Ansar voted for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as their leader, as their supreme commander and their supreme leader. So alhamdulillah, that problem was settled by the coming of the Nabi Alayhi Wasallam. And these girls were singing not only about the battle, but about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his magnanimity, his greatness. His diplomacy in bringing, after 300 years of battle, bringing the Ansar together. And of course, we know what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the Ansar would be people of Jannah. So, Dakhal Abu Bakr. While they were singing, these girls were singing. They were not baligh, they were not adults, they were just girls, they were singing. And the Prophet was lying down. He didn't tell Aisha to tell him to stop. No, they kept on singing. Dakhal Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr entered. Aisha says, "Fantaharani wa qal." My father scolded me, because it was the dad, it was the father, Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala. She said, he shouted to me and he scolded me. And he said, "Mizmaratu shaitan inda nabi." He said to me, "Aisha, do you have this music of shaitan? Subhanallah, in the presence of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How can you have singing? Today's Eid, you have singing in your house, in the house of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam." In another hadith, also on the same matter, فَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Prophet said, "Ya Abu Bakr, oh Abu Bakr, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ عِيدًا وَهَذَا عِيدُنَا Oh Abu Bakr, every community or every nation has a celebration. And this, Eid, this is our celebration. Faqal, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, Da'ahuma. Da' is a command. Da' means leave. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say him, he must leave. No, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Da'ahuma. Leave these two girls, little girls, to sing. At their leisure, let them sing. Today's Eid, let them sing. And it is also said that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we need to show لِتَعَلَّمَ يَهُودَ أَنَّ فِي دِينِنَا فُسْحَةً إني بعثت بحنفية سمحة. These are some to show the other communities, the Jewish community, that we have in our religion times of lightheartedness, times of spaciousness, room for celebration. And I'll give another example with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that what happened on that day, on the day of Eid. So Abu Bakr, of course, was quiet, was silent. فَلَمَّا غَفَلَ غَمَزَتْهُمَا فَخَرَجْنَا. Aisha says, and when the Prophet didn't pay any more attention to their singing, she gave them a signal, she gave the two girls a signal, فَخَرَجْنَا, and they left us. It establishes the happiness, the frivolity in singing, and also that it was done with respect. And it didn't go transcend the bounds. And also it was not just frivolous singing or singing with words that is not suitable or appropriate. No. It was celebrating a great happening in the history of Medina, and extolling the virtue of the leadership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn also from Imam Bukhari in Hadith number 950, Book number 13, Chapter number 10 or number 1. I think it's either 10 or 1. I wrote it in pencil, sorry. So it's Hadith 950, Book 13. Or is it, it's probably Book 1, Chapter 13. Sorry, Book 1, Chapter 13. Rawal Bukhari, Imam Bukhari narrates. An Aisha, again from Aisha. Qalat, she says, وَكَانَ يَوْمَ عِيدٍ يَلْعَبُ السُّودَانُ بِالدَّرْقِ وَالْحِرَابِ. She says, it was the day of Eid, and the people from Africa, to call them Sudan, from Sud, from black. They were people from Africa. يَلْعَبُ السُّودَانُ بِالدَّرْقِ وَالْحِرَابِ. They were playing with spears and shields. Spears and shields, they were playing. فَإِمَّا سَأَلْتُ النَّبِي وَأَمَّا قَالْ. She says that either I asked the Prophet or the Prophet asked me. تَشْتَهِينًا تَنْظُرِينَ. Aisha, would you like to enjoy and, you know, look at how they are celebrating with their spears and their shields, probably dancing, like we know Africans dance with their spears and their shields. فَقُلْتُ نَعَمْ. And she said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I'd like to look and see how they do their celebration, their dancing. فَقَامَنِي وَرَأُوا حَدِّي عَلَى حَدِّهِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. And I stood behind him with my cheek against his cheek. And he said, Dunakum ya bani arfida, dunakum ya bani arfida. And she said, the Prophet ﷺ said to the dancers, who were dancing with their swords and their spears, he said, he encouraged them to dance, to go on dancing. And in another hadith, she explains, in another hadith, she says, وَوَضَعْتُ رَأْسِي عَلَى مَنْكِبِهِ. In another narration, it says, I put my head on his shoulder. فَجْعَلْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَى لَعِبِهِمْ. And I stood looking at and enjoying the dancing. حَتَّى كُنْتُ أَنَا أَلَّتِي أَنْصَرِفُ عَنِ النَّظْرِ إِلَيْهِمْ. Until I, out of my own left. In the first hadith, she said, "Hatta ida maliltu qal." Until I was now had enough. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, "Hasbuki, have you had enough, O Aisha?" Qultu na'am. I said, "Yes, ya Rasulullah." Qala, "Fadhhabi." Let us go. So in the one narration, he waited until Aisha wanted to leave, and in the next narration, similar, he asked her whether she was happy with what she saw, and so on, so forth and so on, and she wanted to go. So some of the interpreters and commentators on this hadith says that it was also Aisha's way to show the other wives how close she was to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by standing, putting her cheek against his cheek, because she was the youngest. She was the youngest, so that's what she did. So Ibn Hajar, as I said earlier, Ibn Hajar, the commentator on Bukhari, the man who wrote the commentary, big commentary on Imam Bukhari, well-known commentary, many commentaries, but this is regarded as one of the best commentaries. Again, Aisha says, لِتَعَلَّمَ, the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Bakr, لِتَعَلَّمَ يَهُودُ أَنَّ فِي دِينِنَا فُسْحَ إِنِّي بُعِثْتُ بِحَنَفِيَّةٍ سَمْحَةٍ. Prophet ﷺ said, I want to show the Jews that we have an openness, a facility of enjoyment in our faith. Inni bu'ithu, I was sent bihanafiyyatin samha. I was sent with a true, tolerant faith, says the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. True, tolerant faith. Now, this dance of the Sudan, of the Sudaniyun, you may call them, people from Africa, took place inside the masjid. Aisha says, and it is narrated in Hadith Sahih, that this happened inside the masjid of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, all these things we must learn from. These things just didn't happen. No, this is now handed unto us after 1400 years. What do we extract from this? Why did Allah allow this to happen to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There are many things it didn't come down to, but this specifically is in Bukhari, so it is absolutely authentic. Hadith from Aisha, directly narrated from Aisha. So this in fact happened. Nobody can say, well, it's a weak hadith. How could that have happened? How could the people dance in the masjid? That is probably the question which is the most important part of this lecture. That these people were dancing in the masjid with their spears and their shields. Why was it allowed? Maybe someone could have said, sorry, man, you know, sorry, this is our masjid. You want to celebrate? No problem. Do it outside. Prophet allowed them. Why? Because their dancing and their form of celebration had nothing to do with the masjid. They didn't say that this is dhikrullah they're making in the masjid, or this is part of their worship, or this is part. No, this was their custom. They didn't dance and make dhikr or no connection at all. It had no religious connotations at all. Today, of course, we know it's different. People dance in the masjid, they jump up and down in the masjid. But for them, this is for them, for us now, if doing it in the masjid is, they say this is dhikrullah. You know? This is remember Allah, and we, you know, in those times the people dancing. No, brother. It's two entirely different things. Doing something in the name of deen and doing something in the name of not deen are two entirely separate matters. If you do something in the name of deen and you have no basis for it, it is innovation. Big innovation in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't confuse the two. What those men did had nothing to do with religion. They were nothing. We don't hear that they sang or that they made dhikr while they were dancing. No, nothing like that. It was merely just celebrating in their way the Eid al-Fitr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a day of celebration. So I've made two points, very important points today, which is not my points, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there are only two Eids in Islam. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. The word Eid is not attached in Islam to any other celebration. And both these celebrations have got nothing to do with history or to do with a person. Not celebrating a person, neither celebrating important occasions in Islam like Uhud or Badr or Fath Makkah. These are great victories, subhanAllah. No. Both celebrations revolves around الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. Why? Because a celebration which revolves around a person, if that person dies, we find another person too. And of course, you have to add to those people. So if there was a celebration about one person and another person at the same status, well, we have to make a celebration for him as well, you know, as it happens. In our country, you know, presidents are celebrated. Birthdays of great anti-apartheid struggle warriors are celebrated. And so in the world, we have so many days that are celebrated, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and we add to it, continuously add to it. And if we had to have the same, we would have added to it. We say, but why we celebrate? Oh, do you know Allah said you can celebrate Badr? And we would have added and added and added. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gave us two. Subhanallah. And number two, that the celebration can be in a very, in a song way, as long as the song doesn't contain words that are inappropriate or foul or swear, and it brings to mind goodness, one can learn from it, so forth and so on, then it is allowed. Those are the important points which I want to leave with you. And the first important point I made was that do not let people say to you that Muhammad sallallahu was only the conduit, the channel for revelation, and that is it. All the modernists, those are the modernist Muslims who say that. Yeah, he was just a man. Allah says in the Quran, he was just a man. Ana basharu mithlukum, I'm a man like you. But there's a big difference. Yuha ilay, Allah says, he received revelation and nobody else received revelation. That's the second point. Without a prophet, Allah did not send a book. With a book, you always send a prophet, and with a prophet, not all the prophets receive books. So it's a great honor for a prophet to receive books. I want to say now, finally, a few things about Eid al-Adha, or Eid for that matter. Because now we are in a situation of lockdown and we cannot go to the masjid to perform Eid Salah. So a little bit of guidance would, I think, would be in place. It would be rebus for me not to comment on this. Eid Salah, of course, as we all know, is a Sunnah Salah. Sunnah Mu'akkadah, but it's a Sunnah Salah. It's not like Jum'ah, which is fard, or like Dhuhr, which is fard, or like Asr, which is fard. It is a Sunnah Salah. So if you do it, you'll get great reward for it. SubhanAllah, a lot of blessing, great reward. If you don't do it, you will not be punished. Not be punished because it's Sunnah Salah. But you lose great reward. Now, because we are now restricted to our home, many scholars have commented on this. They say that we can perform Eid Salah at home. And I'm in full agreement with that. Why? Because it's Sunnah Salah. Juma, we can't make it up. Why not? Because it has set conditions, which is reflected in the behavior of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on Juma. What do we do at home? We perform Eid Salah 2 rakat. If the only ladies in the house, one of them stand in front, in the middle of the saf, not in front, and she leads the salah. She reads, or he would read, and you kneel in your heart, I intend to make 2 rakat Salatul Eid al-Fitr. Khalas, Allahu Akbar. You read Dua al-Iftitah, Allahu Akbar Kabira, Alhamdulillah Kathira, until the end. Then before you read the Fatiha, you raise your hands and say Allahu Akbar 7 times. Allahu Akbar. Rest between each one. Allahu Akbar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then you read the Fatiha. And then after the Fatiha, you read any surah. Any surah that you know, you can read any surah that you know. You don't need to read long surahs, any surah that you know. Then you go into ruku', you come to i'tidal, and you go down, make 2 sujoods, you come up for the 2nd rak'ah, you say Allah Akbar, you rest a bit, Then you say five times Allahu Akbar. One, two, rest in between, three, four, five. Then you read the Fatiha. And then you read the Surah. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Wallahu Ahad, Nas, Falaq, any Surah. If you cannot read any Surah, but you can only read the Fatiha, then you only read the Fatiha. So if you're a new Muslim, you haven't learned maybe to read any Surah, you just read the Fatiha and Barakallahu Fik, your Salah will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you complete the Sunnah Salah as you complete any Sunnah Salah. Sit down, read the Tashahud and say Assalamu Alaikum, Assalamu Alaikum. The question of the khutbah, there are differences of opinion on the khutbah. There are people who say, if there are more than two people, then a khutbah must be, not must be made, it's sunnah to make the khutbah. Just as the salah is sunnah, so the khutbah is sunnah. So when you're in Makkah, for example, for Eid al-Adha, or for Eid al-Fitr, most of the time, because people are on that day, they have Eid al-Adha, but there are many people in Makkah. You'll find that after the Imam had finished the salah, people would leave. The Meccans would all go home. They would start greeting each other and they would leave. Why? Because to listen to the khutbah on that day is a sunnah. Coming to our situation here, I've done my own research on it, and which is not important, because greater councils have given, greater minds have applied themselves to this question. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ never was in lockdown, so we don't have an example from him or the Sahaba or what they did when they were in lockdown. So we have to plow ijtihad, and we follow the people who are greater in their knowledge, in their age, and in the application of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the higher council of scholars of Al-Azhar University had given a fatwa. And you can read about the fatwa on Google. You Google Al-Ahram newspaper, Ahram newspaper of the 17th of May. And you will see there that they say it is not necessary to read the khutbah. Whether you have 5 people or 10 people or 20 people, it's not necessary. It's not necessary to read, not required. Not required. Khutbah is not required. And this is also supported by the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia, who also gave exactly the same fatwa. That fatwa, of course, has been circulated locally, where they say also that making the khutbah is not a requirement. We know the local ulama body has said that if you have more than 2 people, it's a requirement. But if you make the khutbah or don't make the khutbah, it will still be correct. But you are not forced, neither is it a requirement to make the khutbah. All right. If you want to make it, barakallahu fik, you may make it. Finally, the takbir ends after your salah. When you finish the salah, no more takbir. In this Eid, Eid al-Fitr. But in Eid al-Adha, we know the takbir carries on until the end of the 3 days of Tashriq. So I bid you farewell now for the month of Ramadan. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have accepted all our du'as, all our salah, all our fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those who are deceased. Allah must grant them all Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make the Jannah easy for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the door of Rayyan for us, a special door of the Jannah for us to enter the Jannah for people who had fasted in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the lockdown easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the coronavirus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to the people of Syria. May Allah bring peace to the people of Yemen. May Allah bring peace to the people of Afghanistan. May Allah bring peace to the people of Kashmir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to the people of Myanmar. May Allah bring peace to the Muslims of China. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to all the oppressed people of the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us out of this lockdown and this the fear of this virus, stronger Muslims. Stronger human beings, first of all, and then stronger Muslims. And may we always, whatever we do, do it thinking of the Akhirah. Always tell my wife and my children, do everything. Everything you do, in the back of your mind, you say, Ya Allah, I do this for the Akhirah. And don't forget, you say also to Allah, beggar comes around, you give the beggar 5 rand, say, Allah, I'm giving this 5 rand for my mother and my father, who has passed away, even if they're not passed away, even if they're still alive. Say, I'm giving it on behalf of them. Or I'm giving this money to Bangladesh, or I'm giving this money to the people suffering in Yemen or in Syria. I need this for my brother, my sister, who's alive, who had not passed away, my friend, and they will share your reward. If Allah will give you 700 reward, you'll give them also 700 reward. Don't think that you will get nothing, they'll get everything. No, no. You and they get, subhanAllah, what a bargain. You get the same as what they get. So we shouldn't be stingy in giving whatever we do, thinking of our parents and then making dua for them. So may Allah subhanAllah grant, inshallah, that we've learned a lot from this. I've certainly benefited and learned a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeping me at home. I mean, this very fact that I'm sitting here and talking to you is because of the lockdown. This started in China, this lecture, in fact. And look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the benefits. Right at the tip of South Africa. So we cannot deny the all-embracing presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He looks at the world as one unit, and then He guides His world as one unit. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, the doors of Makkah should open soon, maybe for Hajj, and inshallah again, I know there are people who cry because they couldn't go for Umrah in the month of Ramadan. May Allah again open the doors for us. But now when we go, we think also about why we are going, who we are pleasing, and what about the people who are struggling and starving. Maybe we should give, if we wanted to go this Ramadan and we still have that money, give it in charity. And you will get, if you make niyyah now to give it, and only give it after Ramadan, Allah will accept your niyyah now and give you rewards of Ramadan. SubhanAllah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that when our children go back to school, they'll be protected. And we must be obedient citizens of this country. I know there are people who hold a completely different view, that we must all become anarchists and run into the shops and disobey the government and disobey all the rules. Please, there's not going to be obedient, said the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obedient. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be obedient to your ruler if he's a just ruler. Totally carries the very great responsibility. Do what you can do for your akhirah, for your dunya, now that you, and may Allah subhanahu give you a pleasant Eid. I know it's not going to be as pleasant as we want it to be, but may Allah subhanahu give us all, inshallah, the Eid, that we can say, this was really a good Ramadan. This lockdown was really, you know, when we make Eid, you say, wow, mashallah, man. We've never had it. Well, in all my life, I've never had such a beautiful Ramadan. This was such a wonderful Ramadan. And Allah knows why He gave this to us. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Eid Mubarak.